is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And joining me this morning are regular contributors Joan Osera with The New York Times and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine. Welcome back to both of you. And this week, if you didn't hear, and it was pretty hard not to, Apple had a big launch. They had a new phone, a new smartwatch, and a new mobile payment system. And then perhaps as early as next week, the Chinese e-commerce website Alibaba will start trading publicly in what could be the biggest IPO or stock offering ever. But not all the attention that tech companies are getting is necessarily good. You have Google, which is under attack in Europe, accused of playing favorites in how its search engine works. Sharing economy companies like Uber and Airbnb continue to square off against those who are opposed to them. And despite all the hoopla over Amazon's new smartphone, it just cut the price to 99 cents. That's less than a dollar, though you have to get a two-year contract, because it just looks like people are not buying the phone. So what is going on here, Rana? Is tech losing some of its luster?
What struck me about the Apple launch is that this really wasn't a new thing. I mean, it was a very well-done, well-executed marketing launch of a product. But what is it really? I mean, it's a
bigger phone.
It's a bigger phone. It's a new device. I frankly don't think iWatches are going to catch on the way that iPhones did. I don't think they're going to be a game changer. And I think culturally, too, people are getting a little tired of the sort of, hubris associated with technology.
It's like the little fixes along the way, like the phone's a little bigger, you have another way
exactly.
to interact with it, but it's still
the
big
same
game
thing.
Changer.
It's not. We're not really seeing something brand new here.
You know, the other aspect is that these are big companies now with a lot of power. And with that power comes scrutiny. And so you see so much more scrutiny especially at Google, but also aimed at Facebook and the other social media companies because of privacy concerns, because of competitive concerns. And that's what the European Union is looking at in particular. So, you know, they're not these little cute Silicon Valley companies that you can warm up to. And, you know,
that's actually a great point, too, because I think culturally they still want to act like they are.
They want you to think
they
of them
that. They want you to think that way.
But it's part of the problem that some of the things that they're making are just, they're really on the margins. It's apps. It's things that keep us busy on the subway, but aren't necessarily big game changers like the iPhone was when it first came out. I mean, think how different things are now than it was even, you know, several years ago. Think back to 9/11. There was no iPhone back then.
Right. Well, it's interesting. And even if you go beyond that to web-based companies, Twitter, Facebook, I was actually in Silicon Valley just a few days ago talking to a bunch of semiconductor company heads who were really complaining about the fact that their product is what is at the guts of these life-changing appliances. And
they don't get
attention. Don't get any attention. And it's going down in value 20% every year. And why is – yeah, exactly. They were very upset about the valuations of the social media firms.
I do feel like we're in a kind of a lull in I guess what they call internet, 2.0, where the big ideas are out there and everything else is on the margins.
Well, so then that is a nice segue into talking about somebody in the tech community, Peter Thiel. He made his millions co-founding PayPal, and then he went on to do some really smart investments in companies like Facebook and LinkedIn. You may have heard of them. In the process, he's become this sort of Silicon Valley philosopher, and he has a new book that's coming out next week, Zero to One, where he outlines some of his views about technological breakthroughs and new ones that we need to see and innovation in the future. But one of the questions is this where we're at, where people who've been successful in business, especially technology, that we see them as our public thinkers?
Well, I think this has been the case for some time. And typically, those guys have come from Wall Street, right? I mean, there's any number of Wall Street rich guys that have turned into sort of philosophers. George Soros, for example, amazing money man. He came up with this idea about reflexivity, which essentially means that, the markets have their own dynamics. And he managed to write a 200-page book about it. Ray Dalio is another one. But I think the fact that a lot of money and power is now transferring into technology, you're, of course, seeing that same phenomenon of rich guy turned philosopher.
And thus it has always been. I mean, you go back to Henry Ford, who viewed himself as a great thinker. At a certain point.
But you don't see the current CEO of Ford coming out and having his thoughts about writing a book about being listened to like the way you do a lot of tech CEOs now.
That's very true. And Peter Thiel is a really good example of somebody who presents himself as a public intellectual, but his main credential for being a public intellectual is the fact that he got rich with PayPal. Mm-hmm. There's no intellectual substance behind it. Mm. some of his ideas are I think, are good, such as the idea that, you know, why should, you know, we're inventing gadgets instead of world-changing devices. But some of his ideas are crackpot.
Well, to give him a little bit of credit, I mean, he is talking about our obsession with, you know, little gadgets versus thinking about the substantive innovations. Should he get credit for that, to try and get us to think about, you know, technological innovations in manufacturing or in other areas, not just in what's on your smartphone?
Well, I think that that's an important point. And that goes back to your question before of are we in this lull with innovation? I think the next big thing is actually in manufacturing. It's in what is called the Internet of Things, getting devices to communicate with each other. And that's big and that's cool. It's not quite here yet, though.
Well, finally, let's take a look ahead to some of the other stories we're watching. Joe, what's on your radar?
Well, I haven't thought about this guy in a while, but I was thinking about Donald Trump. Trump Entertainment filed for bankruptcy this week. And one of the consequences of that is that Donald Trump, who has been trying to get his name off his casinos because he thinks it's bad for his brand, is kind of stuck with it. Now that he's stuck with promoting two casinos that he doesn't want to have anything to do with. I think I'm looking forward to watching that.
Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I'm thinking about cybersecurity. You know, there's been a lot in the news about this recently. The big financial hacking of J.P. Morgan by Russian criminal groups, what happened with Home Depot the other week. And I was really struck by the fact that a few days ago, NATO actually said for the first time that cyber hacking was a reason to have a joint action, a joint military action. And it's fascinating because I think that elevates what had been more a sort of a corporate crime to a new level of state involvement. And I think that that's going to be something that you'll hear a lot about in the next few weeks and months.
Well, these are all stories we'll be keeping an eye on here and at WNYC.org. And if there's a story that you're looking ahead to or think that we should take a closer look at, let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@WNYC.org. And of course, you can check out this program and all of WNYC's podcasts available on iTunes. Jonah Serra with The New York Times, Rana Fruhart with Time Magazine. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.